The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister, Reverend Busui Olabode, who believes you will be richly blessed.
Last time we discussed here, I remember that we're looking at followership. We're handling why is it difficult for people to follow. So much was discussed in that meeting. We also look at living among myopic people. You do have time to have ruminated on these things since then. Living among myopic people, many people are small-minded, but I remember it was PJ that raised this part on that day. Because our education system is narrow, myopic people are common within the academic circle. Competition is held because it tasks you to become creative and innovative. Envy is a spirit. It makes people to want to pull you down. What they see in others, which they do not have. Envy does not make you appreciate what you do not have, but which others have. Insatisfaction, comparison, and complexes. Inferiority or superiority are major challenges myopic people face. You must learn how to bring out the best in others and not demean the value of others. When you push others up, you also go up and vice versa. We must be sincere to deal with the spirit of complex, either inferiority or superiority. What does it mean to have inferior complex? Or does it mean when somebody has an inferiority complex? Okay, you're talking to us.
Thanks. Inferiority complex simply means, in my own understanding, so when someone feels is less important. I don't know if I'm correct.
Somebody feels is less important. Okay. Or again, please. Somebody feeling inferiority complex. Okay, Funas.
Good evening, sir. When someone
check.
Is, for example, a person is doing well in class, while another person is not doing well, maybe thinking that the other person is better than him will not try again.
A feeling of others are always better than you. Okay? You always give up, assuming that others are better than you. Okay? Okay? Give the mic over to that, my brother.
Feeling low self-esteem.
Low self-esteem.
Because humility is actually different from low self-esteem.
Okay, what's the difference?
Humility is a fruit, like the Bible says, and it's not bringing yourself down, actually.
Okay.
It's not bringing yourself down. But humility is simply having the life of Christ, just doing the truth, obeying the truth. But low self-esteem is you want to.
How does they express itself? Because when you obey the truth, we don't know. Okay, how does they express itself?
Okay, let me put it this way. Low self-esteem is, let's say, I just feel that this self thing. That wants to just bring himself down. Like I talk of myself like I'm a low person.
Okay.
Bringing yourself down. Not humility that places itself.
That places
itself. Like there's this part of yourself that just aligns.
Okay.
But not bringing yourself down.
Okay, not bringing yourself down. But okay, self is still involved. In humility, it's self involved. Okay, that's the line I'm trying to see us draw there.
According to the Wikipedia on inferiority complex, an inferiority complex is a lack of self-worth,
yeah,
a doubt and uncertainty about oneself,
yeah,
and feelings of not measuring up to standards.
Yeah, that we're talking about now humility. We have seen self-esteem.
Okay.
What makes humility different from self-esteem?
Humility is a nature.
How does that express itself?
Built up in you over the time, especially when you have worked with God.
Yes, what does it make you do? What is the expression?
The way it expresses itself is that it keeps you lowly, not lowly in the negative sense, but
how do you stay lowly and it's not self that is coming down? Okay. Issue we are trying to look at there.
Okay, good evening. When we talk about humility versus low self-esteem, when we are looking at humility is actually preferring one to another. You know what you can do. You are not intimidated by what any other person can do, but you prefer one to another.
Yeah.
But when it comes to low self-esteem, you are even afraid to do what you can do.
Okay.
You always feel like everybody is better than you.
Okay.
The two of them will always look alike. There is a thin line, but if you don't look at the...
Is it a thin line, then they are alike.
What?
One is from flesh, one is from the spirit, and there must be a clear-cut difference.
Sir, what differentiates them is actually self.
And the other one, go.
In the other one, when you prefer one to another, you are not doing that by your...
What is the motivating factor?
What is motivating it is the spirit. Is a race judgment. You are not trying to do it by yourself. Okay, how it manifests in... You don't take what is not given to you. For example, some of us, the scripture says it could happen somebody go to sit in the front and is asked, that seat is reserved and taken to the back.
Yeah.
And a humble man will sit at the back, not because he feel that he's a downcasted person,
yeah,
but because he just know that the right thing to do is not to put himself, you know, forward.
Okay.
Now, Jesus does not take some honors to himself.
Okay.
We are not supposed to take some things for ourselves.
Okay.
Not because we are not as better as that, but because we know we are to be given. We are not to take it ourselves.
Okay.
But when it comes to low self-esteem,
okay,
you want to stay away because you feel like you are not good enough.
Okay.
Then when it comes to the other way around, the other extreme, you feel like you are the best and nobody is as good as you.
We're not even going there, then we're after for now.
All right.
It's really complex. Okay.
Just to add to what Father said.
Yeah.
Because in my own understanding, I see humility as in different ways, was majorly, it's like submitting to someone when you ought not to submit, or declining honor that is due to you. If just like the example you gave,
and humility.
Yes, humility. It's spiritual that yes, this honor is due to you, but you felt no. Let me submit myself to. Let me bring myself lowly not to act as if yes, though it's. Is what it?
Okay. So now you an honor is due to you, and you are rejecting it.
Not really rejecting it.
Okay, what do you do?
Okay, let me give this.
Submit it.
Let me give this example. Like maybe you humility now on a normal ground.
what example? That example you gave is really what I used to.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. Maybe, example. Even Jesus said it in the Bible that when you are asked, come and sit in the front or in the higher seat,
yeah,
that you should not go there. Knowing
no,
that
no, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. If you are attending a gathering,
function, yes,
I should not go straight to the front seat.
You should not go straight
to the front.
You should be called.
It's better for them to bring you there than to return you back there.
Exactly.
So it means that to start with, you don't even know what that seat is meant for. You assume that it should be made for. It's like Aman. They said to Aman, go and look out for whom the king should honor. And look at himself. Okay, so that's the name. So he did a self-evaluation. Self-appraiser. And that is pride. See what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, and he told himself, So all the while, all he can see is himself. Who could he have been? So he just said, he went to go and prepare the best. So that presumption of self that is not evaluated, because we can't really evaluate yourself. There are two people that can evaluate you. Okay, let me finish it. Let me just allow us to contribute more.
Humility is born out of a knowledge. For example, if you want to be humble without the knowledge, they call it in the spirit false humility.
Okay.
You understand? You try to act it, but people actually know that you are acting it.
Okay.
It is not a true humility.
They call it humility, Abi.
Yes, sir. You are trying to form it. It's not actually born of the spirit. But over time, the more we relate with wisdom, becoming into an expression of knowing the nature of this life. It is not that they ask you to take this thing or not take this thing. It is not that you are trying to do eye service or not. But it's a product of a life that comes as a result of an impact of knowledge.
Okay, let's look at the example Jesus Christ gave about this Pharisee and this other publican. Who went to pray? One came praying and telling God basis on which he should be justified. What he has done that God can't look away from. Okay. And the other one came with a mind of, I'm a sinner. I'm not even really worthy to come to you to start with. But I just found mercy to have come this way. So let's look at what is the knowledge that the two of them have. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
At the beginning of the ministry of Paul,
okay,
we know the way he talked with the apostles that have gone before him. But towards the end of his life, we also know his conversation whereby he was stating that I'm the chiefest of all sinners.
Okay.
Because the more we come into, for that Pharisee, to some of us, we may think that the more we have done for God, we actually deserve some things. But when we come closer to wisdom, we know that the more we come close, the more responsibility God places on us, it is an honor for us, not because we actually deserve it.
Okay.
So for that Republican to know, he knows in himself, in his nature, that for him to have come this far, it is mercy for him.
Okay.
So he needs an entrance into more. But for that Pharisee, he thought that is all, and that is actually pride.
Okay.
There's some writer in Regional will put it as false humility, which is actually pride before God.
Okay. Okay, so for that publican, I would say you have a low self-esteem. He doesn't have a low self-esteem. So what is informing the esteem? The law informing that by action of the law is not worthy by his short of the law demand. Okay, so he's asking for mercy. So I'm just going to tell you that there's a measure of law that informs you. And that knowledge can only come from God. You can't use your own knowledge to value who you are. So that comes the fact that it is that you must submit to God to be truly humble. If you are not under God, any behavior is falsehood. It's a false humility. You are acting it. And to still be under, how do you your state? It's when you come under God that you can commit your state. And what happens to the academics is that how you know it is false is that the people that act it, they act humility, all of that. When you push them to a point, they tell you, I mean, you did it. the point gets to that the self in them reacts back. So you know that actually that's been a, you know, a kind of thing that can also be a traditional thing. Maybe, you know, there was Yoruba, I mean, Biondo will say, or Yoruba will say, Oshun do bale. You know, sorry, it's not to insult anybody from Oshun here. And just, Oyo do bale. It means if you offend an Oyo man, he can quickly persuade, Ba me, Ema binu, Ba me, Mosheine. And does not stop him from still shaming you. So that thing that has been learned is cultural. It's not really humility, it's cultural. And it does not. So humility is of the spirit. It must be that God has actually helped your heart to know why you should not take things to yourself. Okay? And evaluate yourself alone outside God's evaluation. When God begins to help you to evaluate yourself, you will now see how important others are. That is what it takes to preferring others. It's not that you're just, it's going to be driven by love because you know, and you know, not love also is driven by knowledge. The time we love without knowing much, that love cannot go far. And when you learn more, love more, you need excellent knowledge to come into more love. Okay, so, and you know, I told you that it takes to be under, submit yourself therefore to God. And that's where humility can come in there. If you are not doing it without appraiser, who also was raising hand there? I think Binga was raising hand. Okay. You are okay. And I'm not giving any verdict. I'm just okay, you are raising hands.
Yes, sir. It was a scripture that popped up in my heart. Let this mind be in you.
Okay, okay. Which was in
Christ Jesus.
Okay.
Who was in the form of God, but he didn't count it robbery to be equal with God.
Okay. Being found in fashion.
Man of a man.
That is important. Jesus is not just laid down his estate, just doesn't want to be humble. No. It's because he has been found in a fashion of man, and being in man's fashion, that estate for that time is not equal to God. It's not equal to God. So he humbled himself even unto death, even to death of the cross. It means that God cannot die. So what they killed on the cross, it's not just God, this man they killed on the cross, but God now putting on man's flesh. So I'm just trying to say that if he's not in that form and fashion and he lays down, it's not going to be humility. If he's not found in that fashion as man, okay, and he's laid down his glory, for what purpose? It will be that he's self-driven. So it's because he has discovered that he needed to do that for the purpose of salvation. And that's why God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name, that even at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. So it means that in humility, it's God that is the exalter. It's God that exalts at the end of the day. So even if people say they prefer us to do so and so and so, there's no state they give to us that still equals your humble work. I don't know. Let me say that. Because sometimes when people say, come ahead and do this, it's like I've been waiting for it. I know they will call me. I've been waiting for them. I know they will. So you it's this self that drives that. You actually stayed away before, waiting for when they will call you. I don't know. It's still not humility. I don't know if you get what I'm saying now. Stay at the back, just waiting. They will call me very soon. Yes, they will come very soon. See, when they are serious, they will call me. So it's the heart posture there. Okay. So you can see that low self-esteem is that you condemn yourself. But humility is that any state you find yourself, you are okay with it, knowing that it's only God that can really exalt you. And that's what Jesus Christ did. When he accepted the state, he was not struggling with it. He was at home with it for those periods. Yet he knew the way to exhortation. He knew it is obeying God. It's in doing God's will. So he was not waiting for man's honor. If a man going to give him honor, he rejected it. It's not low self-esteem. You know that man can give you and take it back. So you know what is also in man. And so he's not going to rely on it. So if you praise him today, he will take it, but he won't dwell inside of it. Because another man can change their mind. So I'm talking about knowledge can help us to actually be rightly humble. The more we know God, the more it's easier for us to be humble in the right state. Okay.
To what I experience in my with my coursemates.
Okay.
And somehow I also do it as well. There's this particular guy that is very, very sound in mathematics, as in is known by almost the whole school, like 0.5% of the school.
Okay.
I don't know if people know him here. They call him Equation.
Okay.
As to the extent how far you know. Now, anytime he wants to, some people call him, come and teach us math. Like, I don't know it. I'm now thinking to what you said now is that when we know that they're still going to call us, and okay, we go and stay somewhere, and they finally call us, it's not truly humility.
Okay.
Now, in that situation, what can he do if he wants to act like a true believer? I want to have the true humility.
Okay. Do you know it's hard that he may be that he doesn't even know he knows it? Some people, they are not too sure they actually know it. When Lagos says they were talking about Anu, you know, Reverend's daughter, and her daughter said they should see this book. Because she reads and reads and reads and reads. And if you ask her, you go to the exam, you say, in fact, now you still say, my wife, I don't know how we do it now. Pray for me, oh. It was going to a jam. He said to the mother, can we fast for 5 days? Mother said, on your jam, we won't fast. When you are going, I will go with you. I will stay outside. We will pray before we go. I will go with you, and God will help you. Now, that is not... She's not too sure. I confident in herself, and that is good. That's healthy. It's not that he's saying I will fail, but it's not too sure if he can make it. So it's asking for more grace. So some people like that one, he may not be sure he knows it, but when he starts solving it, he's just working out. The day he knows it, something else can enter into it. So there's a covering that comes to the heart because he felt that, can I really solve this thing? Should you have said that? So, it's different from somebody who knows he knows it. You know it. But you actually took a place, like, let them just go and ramble first. When they finish, they'll come back to me. So, when you now come to him and say, can I really do it? Let's try it. In his heart, he knows that he knows it.
That's one thing.
So, it is the heart matter. You can't imagine, it comes from the heart. Over time, that behavior will actually show. You can only pretend that for you sometime. After some time, it will show that actually you have been deceiving people, that actually you know your worth, but you are just hiding it. I don't know what I'm saying now. For Jesus Christ, Jesus once said to him, go to the feast. Nobody knows what he's talking about. We are the house there talking to us, mysteries to us. Go and share it in the feast. Let your disciples hear it. You know what he told them? He said, your time is always here. But my time is not yet. Now that is not, it's not trying to be humble. It's not trying to have a low esteem. He knows that it has to get to a time in the feast for him to be able to do what is going to make sense. And on the last day of the feast, he walked in right there and he walked to the front and he spoke with a loud voice. The same person who will be so quiet, so quasi can't say anything. He spoke to a large crowd. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. For if any man believe on me, as Christ said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living, loud enough for everyone to hear. So I'm just talking about that. That point of declaration, is it pride? It's not pride. He went to the feast and that came as what to be done, and he did that. And when he was telling his junior ones at home, it's not yet time. He wasn't trying to be humble. So I'm just saying, a man who is under God, who is obeying the Spirit, truly, is the one who is humble. So you understand what I'm saying now? So it's not the posture as it were, trying to act it. It's being under the Spirit, under God, under the law of love, under law of faith. I don't know if you're what I'm saying now. That's what modulate it and become spiritual. If it's something you just do, just trying to take the bad position, even when it is clear, the Lord is saying to you, go ahead and say something. It's still sense of low esteem. Do you know what I'm saying? So the more we have more of the Spirit, the more we can be humble. So it's not a permanent posture of behavior that marks humility. Do we get what I'm saying? The more you acquire more of God, the more you, it's fruit. It's both fruit of the Spirit and fruit of life. You get more patient. You get, and you know, the more you get more patient, the more you can stay, the more you can wait, the more you can allow God's timing to be fulfilled. And that marks humility. Okay. A question, okay. Okay, Funes has the mic, okay. Okay, let's not, it's a layman.
I believe that humility is putting yourself down for spiritual growth. My self-esteem.
Say it again.
Humility is putting yourself down for spiritual growth.
That's very true.
Why self-esteem? Just put yourself down for self-pity.
Okay, that's serious. That's serious. That's true. That is. No, yes. That's.
Just finish it.
That summarizes. Let's leave it. Let's go on. Okay. So that is you are under growth. You are under authority. You are submissive to God. You just know that you are under process. That's true. Praise God. So are you? Does that make sense to you? Okay.
Can we relate this to the ladies meeting that we had, that elect lady?
Okay.
Saying God likes a weak person. Ladies are weak.
Okay.
So when we're made to understand that ladies are
feminine
weak
is weak. Yeah.
They are weak. They are weaker vessels.
Okay.
So their weakness gives God the opportunity to bring them up.
Okay.
Can we relate that to this?
To this humility. Are they humble? They are humble by creation. Is that weakness? Yes, if they accept they are framed that way, okay, because some of them do not also have accept that frame, they want to show that they also have the strength that the masculine have. It robs them. That robs them of the exhortation or of the mercy that you should enjoy from God. Okay. You know, some things that happen to us by nature already put us in the place where you can find grace. I think Sam said that. God put you by your position to be subordinate. You are subordinate. You are playing subordinate role. If you play it very well, even like that, you are going to be due for exhortation. So it's not about... What we're talking about now is not only about just talking about the Christian faith, as it were. Even in natural things in life, there are some positions they put you that if you use it very well, it commands God to look down and exhort you. Some pains you go through, if you bear it and manage it very well, it could be a place for God to comfort you. Do you see what I'm saying now? And so we also have all of that in the natural part of life that make God to come to us. Okay, so it's still in line with what we're saying. Okay, but you try to really move into the realm of humility that is going to be of the Spirit, you will need the gospel. You need to follow God. You need to obey God. You know that the feminine, being in the frame of feminine, is also obeying God to stay there. You know that? Do you know what I'm saying? If a woman gets married to a man and is still under the man, is obeying God, though it's not really obeying. It's not obeying revelation in terms of according to St. Paul. But it's obeying the order of marriage, which God himself created. So I think it's going to be like Paul talking about those who does not have the law, but obey the law in their conscience. The law is in the nature, they obey the law. He was telling the Jews that you don't you think you have the law. They have judged you because you break the law. So that's when the Jew is looking at Gentiles as if they don't know God. Many Gentiles have obeyed God through their conscience. And God cannot look away from them, okay? Praise God. Okay, so let's look at this other complex. Superiority complex. Yeah. Somebody that is just superiority complex. What does that mean? It's going to be opposite of inferiority complex. So how does this fit itself? About it before. Okay. Superiority complex. You began it. Let's have that quickly. Then I will read something to us from romantic friends here. And I want us to... Have you read it? I like that post. I think we should read it here.
Okay. I was trying to talk about superiority complex being an attitude that comes out of a heart that feels is better than everybody.
Okay.
And in the place where you are inadequate, you use mouth to make yourself adequate.
Okay.
What you don't have, you exaggerate like you have it.
Have it, yeah.
What you do, if you do one, you say you've done 10.
Yeah.
And when you see people who are actually good,
yeah,
who can do what you can't do that you say you can do,
you run them down.
You will run them down.
Yeah.
So.
So it must be just you and you and you and you alone. If it's not all about you, it's not going to work. Okay.
It's a feeling that one has that wants to. He wants to always put everybody
down.
He must always be on top.
On top.
Whatever he says is right, even if it's wrong.
If it's wrong. Okay. That's serious. He called it a dictator. It may not really come like a dictator, but he's just going to override everybody's other thoughts. Either spoken or unspoken. It may be verbal or non-verbal. It will just come in there. Just come in there. When others speak, you see fault in what they are doing all the time. And it's only when you do it that it will be right. Okay. Okay.
Hallelujah. I want to pick from the quote of Rick Joyner from Final Quest.
Okay, that's
while
serious.
He was defining either false humility, low self-esteem, or a inferiority complex and a superiority complex as both being pride.
Okay.
He said, superiority complex is admitting or putting to yourself that which is not yours. Like, you know that in the real sense of it, there'll be spontaneous song in it, and you will get there. You will just focus something. You can say something, so.
Okay.
But you will see that there is one that is born out of the spirit that had elevated a man to that place.
Okay.
But there is another one that is born out of you
flesh,
want
to, yeah.
Yes, but the two is still as a result of pride that comes from the fall of man.
Okay, that's serious. From King Rick Joyner's a prophetic view. That is prophetic. Okay. So the two of them are born from, the flesh now. From the fallen man. Struggling, I said they want to choke you up. And you're always feeling, people want to choke you up. I need more space. I said they are not aligned to express yourself. It's a complex. Okay, are you feeling that these guys? I'm feeling that idea. Are you me? You know, like who say that? Somebody was there one time. He said, "You can't be okay." I think he was talking about the church that we should have branches. That all of you, why are you clocking there? All of you go and be stars in many places. as if you are competing. You know. And I said, so you know, that's the sense in everybody is that get a space yourself. When women are in the same house, and I say, is it a woman who wants to be queen in the house? Every woman is a queen in his own house. So that's why they can't live together. The issue is actually it's a complex. So the best thing is they go and find different kitchens for them. So they get it as their palace. Is kitchen your palace, really? So it's because you have an inadequacy that you're trying to make up for. And there's none that will make up for it. So what I tell people is that there are things that should die that will actually elevate sometimes. So everybody, every woman is the queen in his house. What are you queen in? I say you should rule over sin and death. You want to be... So it comes in various ways as if you are inadequate and you need more adequacy. You need more space to yourself. It's a complex. And it's a... You won't give anybody other space around you. You just believe that the place... It genders competition. It brings competition, yes. Yeah. You want to... competition to the spirit. You want to outdo the other person. And you keep on striving and keep on running all throughout your life, trying to outdo. You see what they have done? You cook them to go on. What they have done? You are not with the spirit of trying to be innovative, to bring out the best from inside of you. When you're like that, others will always be looking at how to copy you. Because human being is always competitive in nature. It's complex. Okay, Captain Cook came with his own... I started. You just see how many have started after it. Now, if you are innovative, you look at other ways you can explore. It's not about that same frame. Somebody pull up a beatboard. Next day, you're going to go and pull up your own beatboard. You know, is it the same time you are not remembering there's beatboard that's still not existing? So it's you know that thing is called. Rivalry, yeah, bring rivalry, all of that. That is what the other side brings. The other one looks gentle, looks mild. Though it's devil, but this other one looks more violent. You know? So it's not a right spirit, and it's not what God wants us to develop. It kills our innovation, it kills our originality, it kills our power of innovation. You know, lying down your bed and being able to look into your heart and see thoughts, see patterns, see ideas. You always be looking out. What are they doing there? And when you are always looking out, I can tell you that you can't be the best. You will always be running after other people. Yes. The originality is inside. If you task it, you will see it coming out and looking beautiful. So all of that is what we look at the last time that I felt that we should look out and finish today. Praise the Lord. Is it the right place? So it actually means that when we follow God, you know, last time we talked about followership. When you follow God, it's one of the things He lives in us. God deals with our complexes and brings the right value in all of you. When you say, I am not poor and I can't be poor, I'm not looking at how much is in the account. It's not faith that one day you will just see that you will see very soon. See, I'm not poor. Your mind is on one day. But I'm talking about your present state. When God gives you a present state, you are satisfied. You are contented. You are made. And you're going to find out that you're able to allow others. You're able to prepare others. You're able to help others. Yet you are not really pushing yourself down. Because you are satisfied. You are contented. So that's what godliness builds in us. It builds contentment. And that's the gain of following God. As you go in the gospel, you will see yourself being balanced, being satisfied. It does not stop your spirit of progress. It does not make you stop making progress. It only means that you're not making progress to prove superior. You're not doing to prove a point. You're just being what God wants you to be. Praise the name of the Lord. And that brings us that place of stability and peace. And that is the best time that better things can come out of our life. Amen. Are we okay with that? Let me just share this story with us. What happens when power changes hands in a family? Have you read it? I like it because we are men, and the power play in the family. You know, there's power play in families. Eh? Amen. There's power play. PJ, read it. Please listen.
What happens when power changes hands in the family? This is why most fathers are neglected at old age. a must read for all fathers and mothers too. Take your time and read through. Number one, in the lifetime of most Nigerian family settings, there are three dispensations of power. The first is the first 25 years in the life of the family, that is the father, mother, and children, where power indisputably rests with the father. The second is after the kids have grown and started working, when the power shifts to the mother. The third is when the kids move out of the family house or start their own families, when the power moves to the children. We'll start from the first dispensation, total dominance of the father. He is the lion of the tribe of his house, the boss. During this dispensation, the father rules with an iron fist. He backs orders and determines what does or does not happen. The father often metes out corporal punishment to the recalcitrant children. They grow to fear him more than they love him. The father is the provider for the family, and everyone is aware of that fact with all attendant consequences. Then the second dispensation sets in. The children have finished school and have started working. Power shifts to the mother. When the children start earning their own money for some reason, it's their mother they decide to look after. They are closer to her. While the father was in charge, he was busy with the business of providing. He didn't have much time to be a friend to the children. They spent more time with their mom and invariably grew closer to her. They also see their mom as co-victims of their father's tyranny. The mother takes center stage at this point. She is the first to know what's happening with the children, and she has advantage. Should any of her daughters give birth, she is the one that goes for babysitting, and the children spoil her with gifts. At this stage, the father is wishing for some bond with the children like they have with their mother, but that boat has sailed past. Because the mother doesn't rely much on the father for her needs at this stage, she is less likely to tolerate his lordship and friction. Then the third and the last dispensation, power has shifted to the children. They are self-sufficient, live on their own, and have their own families. More often than not, whenever there is a quarrel between father and mother, the children side their mother. Years of joint victimhood at play. Children have been known to come to the house to warn their father not to disturb their mother. Next thing, there will be extended visitations. Woe betide the father if his finances are precarious at this stage. You will be humbled by force because the gang up is real. This causes most men to fall ill and develop different complications. By the time forces are arrayed against you, you will think well. Stroke, hypertension, high blood pressure. The man has a large family but no relationship with them in later life. Troubling thought. Moral, dear men, while the power lies with you, please wield it with posterity in mind, because it won't be with you forever. With the way you are treating your wife now, how will she treat you when power shifts to her? What relationship do you have with your family? Loving dad or despotic, tyrannical provider? Remember, children always side with their mom who carried them for 9 months and nurtured them to adulthood. Aim to do enough, at least, to get a fair hearing in future moments of family strife. Invest wisely for the future so that you won't have to beg to be taken care of. If despite your efforts, your best efforts, you will find yourself alone. Advice to children. It is not good to abandon your father who denied himself to get you prepared for life and who sacrificially sowed to make you who you are today. Honor your parents and take good care of them and in their old age. That is how you too will sow into the future. Don't let neglecting your father, parents be a curse on you into your future. Advice to mother, don't incite your children against their father. Parenthood is not easy, despite its joys. There is no manual on how it works. May God help us to make the best of a real tough job. Hope you learned something, fathers.
Okay, it reads about fathers, but somewhere that I just discovered that this whole process is about men's life. Men's development. And this does not come... Now, it has been... I think this has been observed around us very well. Is it? Yes, huh? Okay. I think it's a common thing around us. And it has a way of always going this way. Every time. Always going this way every time. And like when the romantic friends on last time, and by the time we were looking at the roles or talking about, consciously doing actions or deeds to express love to your spouses. You know, he got to a point that the man said, what else is remaining? Okay? What else is remaining? So I just actually read this to us to let us see the demand of responsibility that rests on the male man and the need to prepare to be a real man in the face of this structure of life that has been on in the midst of in the midst of Nigerian families. Praise God. For example, maybe I don't know how many of us are in this web already where you have a feeling that your father has not done well enough and it's a mother, all of that. And sometimes the fathers, maybe some of them did not do well enough. So it has the end of producing this structure and maintaining this structure. I don't know if that's what I'm saying. There will be need for a deliberate action of faith and love to break this cycle in our own time. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. There could mean for a deliberate action to break the cycle. Number one, to discover that if we keep on this cycle, it will keep on happening like that. And it will also happen to you. Yeah. You know, because of the nature of the man, we have a way of always want to put order in the house. Order in the house. And you always feel the woman is not doing well enough. So in not doing well enough, you will become a tyrannical leader without knowing. Sit down there. Who opened the door? Why is that one? Why is that way? Questioning everything makes you become a lion on the top of your house. And once that starts happening, what we have here now is going to be produced automatically speaking. Praise the Lord. So while we have this, it's one of the things that actually steered me into that theme. The heart after God. God, we have to structure to be able to handle these things. It's not going to happen just like that. You know, to have children who suck the breast of the mother, they want to attend to the mother more. They want to play with their mother more. So if you're asking for the attention of the children, it's as if you are suffering from low self-esteem. Even at childhood, they prefer their mother. They want to stay more to their mother. When they want to cry, and mother carries them, they stop crying. Sometimes you carry them, they keep crying. So I'm just saying that what we are seeing here is not just certain nature structure. Produce it. And to take a race of men who understood, not because we are trying to secure tomorrow in terms of not relying on children, relying on people. No, it's not all that. But producing a family that will bond in love. That will make a difference. And you get in there. Everybody just, there's no difference. Everybody see their mother, their father, they can't see difference to them. There's no secret laying down with the woman that they, the, that the man is not having access to. You know, this one gave 5,000 naira. The other one add 2,000 naira. And if the 2,000 naira is added to it, that make more sense.
Yes.
Share your side. So somewhere there, men we suffer so much, it will take, you know, another heart to be able to develop what it takes to carry the responsibility that rests upon the man, the male man. So much responsibility. Actually speaking, if you look outside of our world and our community, male dies before the female. Do you know that? If they're not dead, they will be sick in the house. So, and you can't change anything at that age. To change things will start from now. It will start from now. And that's why I'm not reading it. There's no old man around us here. But we are young people that can have another disposition to life. When you see these things, it's real. It's real around you. And you can't just say yourself, that's their own. My own be different. I'm telling you, your own be exactly different. If it's not taking more picture than this one. So even if you have all the money and you have made all the money in your life, want to live independence, you will live alone. And the mystery of living alone itself. If you enjoy being alone when you are younger, go and ask old people. My brother will call me. You have not come to see me for the past 3 weeks. I'm busy. Are you that busy? They just want to see you. That thing you do by visiting and say, hello, ma, how are you? It's so healing to them. I don't know that sickness. Just touch them this way. Nadia, how are you? Now, before now, you talk this way to them. They hear you don't feel. But now, your touch makes no sense. How are you? They will be smiling. I say, what is there about this old age thing? What's about it? So, so I just see that what we're doing now, actually, is we're saving tomorrow. And we're saving generations to come. Okay? And I want us to place our heart to the place of the demand to really be a real man in the language of being a real man, of pressing into eternal life. I tell you, that is the only thing that gives you the cover, the security of tomorrow, and you discover that you are not just alone. You are not just abandoned. I tell people, I said, I am not, I always have people around me, even if they're not my family. I don't miss them. I know they are there and I need to check them. I don't miss them. Because I'm not just running ministry, I'm running a family. So I'm not lonely, I'm not. But you can be a pastor and be lonely. You know that? You are lonely because of the way you have designed yourself. After that, maybe you come back from a minister, you are somewhere there just speaking the Holy Ghost, praying to God and Jesus alone. It's time to preach. You just come, discharge, there. Just go back to study. And they finish the service. And they come for counseling. One by one, just cancel all of them. They go back to the house rejoicing. And you are alone, die. And you run that you are 70, 60 years. And to find that you are all, nobody knows you than, oh, Papa is somewhere. Send 10,000 to your account. It doesn't make human being. So, relationship is very, very important. Is very, very vital. And that's why at this time, I want us to begin to put demand on ourselves to know that the way of life will put demand on relationship on you. Please don't discard it. Build it. Put yourself towards it. It will help you. It will help your family. It will help your children. They will see a different lifestyle and to help another lineage and circle of life again. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So, it just thrilled my heart that many people are in this web. Many parents are in this web. And not only only few has escaped this. Only very, very few. Only very, very few. And you see anger in the fathers, abandoning the house for 3 months to go and take care of a baby somewhere there. I remember my father-in-law says, if I give you my wife for 1 week, 2 weeks, if you don't bring him, I will come back and meet you. You will receive the two of us. Because they are joined together. You can't easily separate them. And before 2 weeks finished, I'm going to my husband. But before 2 weeks finished, he has gone home to go and cook for him, to go out and came back, all of that. That's bonding. But that is not done when you are old. It's done when you are young. It's done when you are young. So don't be too strong, please. Don't be too strong. Don't be traditional. Let this truth find a place in our heart. It just makes all things very beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, PJ, can you lead us to pray, please? Let's pray.
I want to believe that God is, you know, setting our hearts on something important. We came here in the morning and then it was all about friendship and friendship. And I discovered that the same key also will help solve this issue. Friendship in the family. Friend with your wife and being friends with your children. Even though they recognize your authority, but they know that you are their friends. You can't easily abandon your friends. We are thanking God this evening for help that is coming to us as the male folk this evening. God is showing us a lot of things that will help us to have a better generation, healthier generation. I want to thank God and appreciate Him this evening. I want us to give Him glory for His help, for His mercy upon us. Each time we come for this platform, God always shows something, you know, that we need to press into. Something that's the male man that we need to press into. And I believe it's all connected with the purpose of God for the male man, which is part of dominion. And like Pastor told us yesterday, the dominion, the essence of the dominion is for the image of God to be formed in us. And we have reiterated that point here this evening also, that humility is actually submission to God. Submission to God. I want us to ask the Father to help us this evening. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. I want us to pray that God will grant us the grace to be humble and to stay humble as the male man in the name of Jesus. We have heard that humility is not necessarily the action of bringing yourself low, but humility is the action you exhibit, the action that is propelled by the Holy Ghost. So who propels that action? Is it the Holy Ghost or is it self? We are asking that the Holy Ghost will take the center stage of our lives in the name of Jesus. The Bible even said it. He said, let each of you esteem another better than yourself. The Lord, you will help me to truly imbibe this spiritual mentality, that to see that my brother is better than I am, that my brother is better than me. Help me also. He said, in honor, preferring one to another. Help me to prefer my brother. Help me to prefer my brother. Help me not to see myself. Self is very problematic. Self is very, you know, self is a thief. It robs us of the blessings of God. And it even robs us of the blessings of life. That is why it's not only God who hates a proud man. Even people hate somebody who is proud. They hate, they dislike that attitude. We pray that God will help us to stay humble. In the name of Jesus. Mahakataniga braka susali grebo sheketoli. Engrama zozonin greba shandaka. Maniga zozanigiri. The Bible says submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. So the fear of God is actually a knowledge. He said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the knowledge of the holy. So when you say submitting one to another, it's not because we are trying to show low self-esteem. But we acknowledge under God and by the power of truth that we are to defer one to another, because none of us is as wise as all of us. It's to show us that even God, who is called the all-sufficient one, still came to connect with man. Still invested so much in man that he made, and is willing to make man his equal. He's willing to bring man to his estate because he understands, he has a knowledge that what he is in heaven, he wants man to be on earth, and that it is in doing that that man will honor him more. So he gave everything to man. We are asking the Lord will help us to submit one to another.
submission is not only for the female folk, like some men believe, that it's our duty as men to love, and it's the duty of the women to submit. No. It's our duty to love, it's our duty to submit. For those of us who are married, God expects that we will also submit to our wives. There are times your wife will say she's not disposed to what you want to do. We are not supposed to shut them down. We are actually supposed to consider what they have said. Because in their hearts, they mean well for us and they want us to be okay. So we pray for those of us who are married, the Lord will help us to submit to our wives also. In other words, we defer to them, we prefer them. We don't feel intimidated by whatever they become. Some men feel that their wives should not be better than them, either financially or even spiritually. A pastor went to take over the pulpit ministry, the television ministry of his wife. He said, no, you should not be there. I should be the one that should be there. Because when the woman started, the man thought that who will listen to her? But by and large, the woman gained audience. And people were tuning into the program. And she was becoming popular. And the husband said, go and sit down. Let me take over the program. Now, that's not what we are talking about. That's not good enough. We should rather sit back and push them forward and project them. It is in that we also find honor. We pray God will help us to have the knowledge of the truth that will inform these godly actions in the name of Jesus. And I want us to begin to pray for ourselves as fathers. Either potential fathers or fathers to be or fathers already in the natural. That God will help us. We will not continue this evil circle that has been painted to us in that post that we read, in which the mother and the children gang up against the father to punish him. Because at the time he should bond with the family, he has lorded it over them. He has not shepherded them. He has not groomed them with love. We ask that God will repent. If there's any of such in us, we repent. That Lord, where we have taken it upon ourselves to be the Lord, to be the lion over our families, Lord, we take the position of the lamb. Help us to be friends with our family. There are some family, the only time the children talk with their father is when they need school fees, when they need to give instruction, when they run errands. They can never sit down with their father. If they sit where their father is sitting, they will be dying so many deaths. But it shouldn't be. We should be friends. We should be friends. We should be able to play with our children. The Lord will help us. And help us to consciously change this order. Mareka sokata lingre mamo sokoto shaka. That there will be a bond of truth in our families. A true bond. We will bond with our wives. We will also bond with our children. Our children will bond with us. Our wives will bond with us. Our children will bond with our wives. There will be that bonding that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are never tired of themselves. They can never be away from one another. They are always together because they are one. We pray, Father, you will make us one in this order. Even in our families, make us one after the order of the oneness of the Trinity in the name of Jesus. I want us to pray for Real Men's Summit that we are planning for the month of May. The Lord will help us with this summit in the name of Jesus. Last year, the time we had more than a breadwinner, the Lord so much came to us and He opened so many things to us as men that we ought to know. That we are not just to win bread, but we are meant to do much more. Now another meeting is here. The Heart After God. We are asking that meeting also will do so much in us as the male man. Even those our sisters will join us, church people will join us. But we are praying. The program is designed basically for us. We will not miss out. We will get all that God wants us to get so that we can be responsible men before God. We'll pray for the committee. The Lord will help them to do their work right. The Lord will grant them wisdom, ideas, innovations to make the program a wonderful one. and we ask for the grace of the Spirit in the meeting, all our meetings, as we have prayed for the manifestation of God in all our meetings. We pray for that meeting, that the presence of God will be evident in the name of Jesus. We receive supply. We receive supply. We receive provision. We are all going to give towards the program. Let God bless us. Let God bless us. That as men, we are planning, you know, we are trusting God for some breakthroughs in the area of business. You know, there are some things you are planning to do. We pray to God. All our endeavors, let God crown them with success. Many of us are looking for some business opportunities that if they can just click, oh, we will have enough funds to do some things we need to do. We pray that God will make them click. All those businesses, God will bless them. The work of our hand, God will bless them. God will bless us so much more that we'll be able to give collectively such that the program will be well executed in the name of Jesus. And finally, I want us to pray for our pastor. He's the first male man of this assembly. If he gets it right, we will get it right. The Lord will help him to always get it right. Always. Always get it right. So that he can mirror Christ for us in the figure of the male man. He will mirror Christ for us as a person. He will mirror Christ for us as a male pastor. He will mirror Christ for us as a husband. He will mirror Christ for us as a father. He will mirror Christ for us as a teacher. He will mirror Christ for us also as a friend in the name of Jesus. The Lord will endow him with more wisdom. More wisdom. More wisdom. More wisdom in the name of Jesus. I want us to pray for all our brethren in this place right now who are preparing for marriage this year. The Lord will use that to accelerate their salvation process in the name of Jesus. The Lord will help them not to take anything to themselves, not to even take their wives to themselves, but to give everything to the Lord so that they can fully come into life and come into freedom of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. As they get married, the family of God will increase the more in understanding, in grace, in grace, in grace. I want to pray for all our brothers here also who are trusting God for who to marry. Many of them know that they are in that stage right now and they need to get married, but they don't yet know who that sister is. Let God bring their wives. The God who brought Eve to Adam, let God bring their wives to them and show it in the name, not them trying to work things out for themselves, but God bringing it in the name of Jesus. And for those who have many years ahead of them before they even get married or think about marriage, we pray the enemy will not derail them. They will be focused on Christ. They will serve God with a singleness of heart and purpose in the name of Jesus. We give God praise this evening because we are blessed in all our endeavors. Our family is blessed. Our homes are blessed. Our church is blessed. Our brethren are blessed. Everyone is blessed. We give all the glory and praise to you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we are prayed.
We believe you have heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the word that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us on any of our meetings? You can join us for Lively Friends and Partners Forum first and third Saturday of every month by 8 a.m., on Wednesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. all at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road, Ondo. For more information, please call 0703-895-5483 or 0803-850-6491. Or you contact us at livemanifestation@yahoo.com. Remain blessed.